Glad you're here today, every one of you. Seeing some new friends and some old friends, not old in age, just people we've known for a while. Millie, it's nice to see you. Gwen, it's nice to see you. Yolanda, we love you guys. Miss you. And Millie moved over to Lakeland and then bought a house in Dunedin and just completely missed the will of God and moved over there. And she's, you know. We're glad you're here, though. We're glad every one of you are here today. I don't know if you know this about me. I think it's probably true of not just of me, but there's a lot of men, maybe some women here. I love to fix stuff. I love a challenge. I love when something's broken. You know, there are some times when it's just okay to call a repair person. But for me, I want to fix it. If I can try to fix it, I'm going to try to fix it. I refuse to allow broken things to beat me, you know? I refuse to allow broken things to stop me. I love to fix stuff. I had a computer a couple of years ago, and it wasn't working very well. And so I had a conversation with Mark, who's kind of our resident go-to person when it comes to computers. And I called him and said, okay, my computer's not working. He said, well, you probably need more memory in your computer. He said, you could take it down to the store. You could try to install it yourself. I'm like, I'm up for the challenge. So I decided that I was going to install more memory into my computer. And I went down and bought the stuff that I needed, and somebody asked me, like, do you know how to do that? Of course not, but I can figure it out. And then, like, do you have the tools? Like, I own a hammer and a screwdriver. I can fix anything. And so I started to tear my computer apart, and as I was doing it, like, I started to see some parts that I didn't fully understand or hadn't, nobody had explained them to me. And so somebody said to me, they said, you know, you could go on YouTube and they'll tell you how to install more memory into your computer. I'm like, I'm not going to go on YouTube and allow a 14-year-old to tell me how to fix my computer. You know, like, man, I can manage this. So I took it apart, and there were some parts that came apart. I don't know that they were supposed to come apart, but they had some parts that came apart, and then as I was doing it, you know, I started to put it back together, and there were some extra parts, which was amazing, you know. Don't know where they came from, but there they were, and I had some extra parts, and, you know, while it wasn't working very well, you know how there's always a light on the computer when it's on. Mine didn't have a light, and in fact, it had an odd noise every once in a while to go, kong, 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 you know, like I didn't know what that was, but I knew there was a way for me to fix it. And so eventually, I had to go on YouTube and watch a 14-year-old tell me how to fix my computer. It worked for a little while, but it didn't work very long. And then you know what I had to do? I had to go buy a brand new computer because I had kind of messed that one up. I don't know about you, but I love to put stuff together. Maybe you don't relate to that. Maybe you're a parent and we just came through Christmas and you've spent Christmas Eve completely putting together presents and, you know, stuff that has to be assembled for your children. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you bought your daughter one of those big Malibu dollhouses and had to put it together. And I don't know about you, but like, I know that there's instructions that come in boxes, but I don't need no instructions, you know? I see the parts. I know they're supposed to go there. I'll figure it out. Instructions are for people that don't have intuitive sense about putting, you know? So daughter wakes up in the morning and like, hey, baby, don't you love your Malibu baby Barbie dollhouse? And like, it doesn't have a roof, Daddy. I mean, you know, it's like, well, it's a patio house. You know, we're going green. She's going to live outdoors, you know. But so eventually what happens many times, we have to either get some instructions or we have to get brand new stuff. We do it our way. We kind of fail to kind of really follow the directions, and then they break, or we have to go get some new stuff. It's that way in life. Life takes its toll on us, and eventually we start to yearn for new, a new beginning, a new day, a new start, a new city, a new house, a new relationship, a new church, something new that will give us a fresh vision, a fresh start in our lives. We're kind of captivated by new in general. I love new. Anybody, you know, I love new. For those of you who can go to a consignment shop and buy clothes, God bless you. I need shoes that my feet were the only feet that have ever been in those shoes, you know? I love new, and I know that there's a lot of folks that love new. And marketing companies, they know that we love new also. I'm going to show you some of the new stuff that's out there. I mean, they advertise new stuff really big to us. And there's products on here that I've seen before, but now I'm paying attention to them because they're new, you know? And so there's some new things up here that I want to just pay attention to. Here's Purex. Anybody use Purex? Purex. And is Purex dish soap or is it laundry detergent? I don't know which one that is. But Purex. And you know what's new about this? Are you ready? A new auto dosing technology. Because I couldn't figure out how much to pour, you know? So auto dosing technology. Here we go. Let's see. This is new and improved, 25%. Okay, that's what I love about this. There's nothing different about it. It's just 25% more that makes it new and improved. Here we go. Everybody eats cereal. Have you noticed what they've done to us lately? Have you noticed that the boxes for cereal, do you see how small these boxes are? They're the same size on the front, but they're narrow. But this happens to be new. Again, marketing new because we love new. Kellogg's Jif. It's peanut butter and jelly cereal. We'll be serving this with cake in the foyer afterwards. I actually had to practice this. This is potato soup, Idahoan potato soup. And it just says new. It doesn't say anything about what it is. It just adds water and cooks in 5 minutes. Somebody can have this also after service. Here we go. I love this. Popcorners. Popcorners. Crisp and crunchy popcorn chips. Carnival kettle. Here we go. Do you know what's new about this? The look. The packaging. Nothing new on the inside. And you know what? We'll buy it because it's new. Here we go. I'll just do one or two more. Clorox Triple Action Dust Wipes. Are you new? Dust an entire room with one wipe. They didn't test this at my house, I can tell you now. Okay, I'll just do one more. I love this. Easy cheese. Here's what it says up in the corner. New. Are you ready? New formula made with real cheese. Well, wait a second. What was it before? I'm like, was it silly string or something, you know? New, but we love new. You and I love, marketers know we love new. And I think that it's something innate inside of us. In fact, I wonder if it's maybe something that God put down inside of us that we love new. In fact, there are promises from God. I think he's put that inside of us maybe because he loves new. There are things that God loves, and he loves new things. Here's what it says in the Bible. It says, sing a new song. I love the old songs, but let me just tell you, I love that we have a generation of people who are writing songs, and they're writing songs from their heart, and we're singing new songs to the Lord. Sing a new song. There's something amazing about new songs. Here's what else the Bible says. It says in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse, if anyone is in Christ, I love this. Think about this promise. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Like, your life could have been really messed up, but there's a promise that you can have a brand new life. doesn't stop there. Book of Revelation tells us that in the future there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You know, honestly, let me just tell you, you can say what you want to. We've messed up some stuff up on this earth. You know, like I've watched the stuff that I've thrown in the garbage, you know, and I'm not like overkill about recycling, but I know that there have been some times in my life it's like, should I have put that paint in the garbage or not, you know? And there are some things in this world that we know that maybe this earth it's tired. The Bible actually says the earth is actually groaning for a day of release. There's a new heaven and a new earth that's coming. And then Ezekiel, the 36th chapter and the 26th verse says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit inside of you. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit inside of you. And let me finish this verse. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a new heart and put a new spirit inside of you. I'll give you a heart of flesh. It means that as life takes its toll on us and we experience wounds, as we experience the hardship of life, and sometimes in our lives our hearts become calloused, and sometimes our heart just dies. Our spirit dies. It seems like we have no hope. He says, I have the potential to give you a new heart and put a new spirit down inside of you. I think God loves new things. And I think that God put that down inside of us. And in fact, I think that he loves us so much that he's given us some regular news. Are you ready? We just came through New Year's. Every 365 days, he gives us a brand new year. And we all look forward to that. Like new year, brand new start. I'm going to get in shape, you know? Okay, well, maybe now you'll have to wait 365 more days to start that. But you know what? The Lord, he's also created another way. If you can't wait 365 days, every about 30 days, he gives us a new month. How about this? If you can't wait 30 days, every 7 days, he gives you a brand new week. And you know what? We all sense we need that new week because we're all starting a diet on Monday, you know? Because it's a new week. We all yearn for that new. Can't wait a whole week. Every 24 hours, he gives us a new day. And you know what the Bible says? That every morning, his love and mercies to us are new. Like, he promises us new. He promises us a new start. And you know why I think God knows we need new. He knows we need it because we mess it up. Like, we mess life up. We mess relationships up. We mess our heart up. Like, and it's not just us. Sometimes it just happens to us. Other things happen around us, and then we just have to live through them. And when we live through them, many times it seems like a little piece of us just starts to die. And God knows at some point we have the need of a new year. A new month, a new day, a new beginning, a new start. So it's a new year. And for Christ Church of Orlando, it's a new beginning for us also. Moving into this building and having a brand new start in this worship center, I have to tell you, it's refreshed our spirit. We're like, we have a vision, we have a plan, we have a place that we're going, but this is a new beginning for us. And God places new down inside of even a church. He places a new passion, a new heart. And many of you, you've been in church before in your life and you've been tired. Like, your faith has grown weary. He wants to give you a brand new start. And so here, a new beginning. Let me just say, it's a new year. It's a new month. It's a new week. But is it a new you? Is it a new you? In fact, it would be possible to have a new promise from God. It would be possible to have a new day, a new month, a new year, a new beginning, and end up in a week, in a month, in a year, at the very same place where you are right now. And here's the reason why we do that is because many times we make the decisions that put us right back in the very same place, and we don't take advantage of the new that God wants to give us. I heard this a couple of years ago, and I think it's probably true, that if they took all the money in the world and collected it up and then divided it evenly among every person on the planet, Somebody say amen. You know, it's like, if they did that, you know what they said? They said that studies kind of show that within 5 years, all of the money would be back in the very same places it is right now. And here's the reason why, is because many times the financial decisions that we make are the decisions that have placed us right where we are right now. So when you get an opportunity for new, you have to make new decisions, and you have to make the best of that new. Imagine if in the days ahead, you could be financially free. Imagine if in the days ahead, you could be more physically in shape, a new opportunity. Imagine if in the days ahead, if your marriage is in trouble, if your marriage is tired, if your marriage, if you're in that place where you're about to quit, it feels like your marriage is dead. What if you had the opportunity to have brand new, even in the marriage that you're in? How about in your career? How about in your walk with God, a brand new day? If he promises you new, what will you do with it? You have to make decisions that will move you into a new place. And so you have to focus on a new future, a new destination, a new vision for what your finances look like, a new vision for what your physical well-being looks like, a new vision for what your marriage looks like, what your family looks like, what your career looks like. You have to have a new vision. Here's what it says in Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, people perish. Where you don't have a vision, where you don't have a picture for your life, people perish. There are many people in this world, they just simply, they wander through life, they don't really have a plan, and then many times they end up disappointed. Their life seems like it's very unfulfilled. It's because they didn't have a plan to get anywhere, and so they don't ever feel like they've ever even arrived. How would you know if your life was accomplishing something if you didn't have a vision or a goal to do it? Imagine if you were able to have a life that where you were financially free, where you were walking in freedom in God, where your body was in shape, where maybe you were walking in a ministry that God had for your life. But living anything less than God's vision, God's plan for our lives, is always a dissatisfying venture. Where there is no vision, where there is no dream, people perish. And so good news for you today is God has a dream for your life. God already has a plan for your life. In fact, here's what it says in the Bible. It says that before you were born, God had already purposed. He had already made plans for you. He had already made works for you to do, works of righteousness, before you drew your very first breath. He has a plan for your life. And if you're not religious today, and maybe you're just visiting with us today, let me just tell you, I think whether you're religious or not, what we're going to talk about, it has great relevance to you. Because many people, they walk through life, and as they walk through life, they get down 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, and they've had a lot of activity, and yet it seems like their life is unfulfilled. Like they've reached the goals. They've made the career goals. They've climbed the ladder, and when they got to the ladder, it seemed like life was still an empty place. It's possible to avoid that if you simply do this. Are you ready? There are instructions. There's a plan for your life. There are instructions that came with the Barbie dollhouse, you know? There are instructions that came with the life that you live, and ultimately, God has already designed a place of fulfillment for you. And your life is best when you follow that. Most people, they live at one of what I consider to be one of three levels. The first level is survival level. And here in the United States, we don't really live at survival level too much. I mean, we have our daily needs. But there are many people, in fact, most of the people in the world, they have to worry about what they're going to eat every day. They have to worry about shelter. It's survival level. And then there's a second group of people, and I think most of the people in the United States are at this level. It's the success level. How successful? Am I going to be successful in my career? And we pursue a career, we pursue a job, we pursue finances, we want stuff, we want a good house, we want a good car, we want to be able to live comfortably and say that our life is a success. But let me just tell you, it's possible to have a career and be successful in a career and still feel unfulfilled. It's because you've not fulfilled the destiny or the plan that God has for your life. And then here's the third level that I think that God's calling each and every one of us to, and that is the level of significance. It's beyond survival. It's beyond success. It's a life of significance. And in fact, I have to tell you, when you live a life of significance, sometimes the financial things and the stuff things, they're less important because you understand that your life has meaning. It's going to have meaning not just for this day. It's going to have meaning for the future, that you have the potential to make a difference in this generation and might even make a difference in another generation. Living a life of significance. And so today, there's a challenge. Like, God has a life of significance for each and every one of us. It's not just for one person. It's not just for me. It's not just for leadership teams. It's for every person. He wants you to live on a successful level in a place of significance. And there are a lot of people that they don't have a vision for their life. I heard the story of three men that were working, and somebody walked up to him and said, "What are you doing?" And the first guy said, "I'm breaking stones." And the second guy said, "I'm making a living." And the third guy said, "I'm building a cathedral." You see, the third one had vision. It was beyond just like bricks and mortar and putting stones up on a wall and chopping them and making sure that they fit in the right place. It was beyond making a living. He had a vision that he was doing something that was bigger than himself, something that was beyond that moment. God has something of significance for your life that's beyond your career, that's beyond even the finance. It's to a place where you can make a difference in this world and maybe in another generation, living a life of significance. And here's what it's important for us to find this and pursue this is because there's a couple things that'll take place. The first thing that'll happen, it will reduce your frustration. It'll reduce your frustration. Here's what Isaiah 49 verse 4 says this: "I've labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain for nothing." Has anybody ever felt that way? It's like, man, I've worked hard, I'm exhausted, and I'm frustrated because I don't feel like my life is any more forward than it was a month ago, 6 months ago, a year. And maybe it's because what we're pursuing isn't the fulfilling stuff. It's not actually the things that God has. It's not the God design for our lives. Here's the second thing that I think it'll do in our lives. It will motivate us. Pursuing God's vision, God's plan for our life, it will motivate us. Here's what Job, the seventh chapter, says this: "My life drags by day after day, hopeless, day after hopeless day. I'm tired of living. My life makes no sense." Man, I know some people, honestly, they've lived hopeless days. They've lived miserable days. They've lived difficult days. In fact, some of them have lived like difficult months, and some of them have had a bad year. Anybody, 2016, bad year. I know some people had like a bad decade, you know. I know some people that have had like a whole bad life. But you know, here's the awesome thing about that is even in all of that, you're not relegated to where you came from. You're not stuck. God has a plan for your life. And so it begins to motivate us to know that there's something else that God has for us. Here's what Jeremiah 29 verse 11, one of my favorite scriptures: "The plans I have for you, says the Lord, are good and not evil, and I will give you a hope and a future." Listen, your plans might have been too small. God has a bigger plan for your life, and it's a good plan. In fact, let me just tell you, the vision that God has for your life is bigger than the vision you have for your life. The significance that he has for your life is bigger than the significance that you have planned for your life. Here's what it says in Ephesians, the third chapter in the 20th verse: "God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think." What do you want your life to look like? God is willing and prepared to do something that's beyond your vision, something that's beyond what your current tasks are. He has a vision. He has a plan for you, and it's a life of significance. Here's the second thing, the third thing that, as far as I'm concerned, that this does as we pursue God's vision for our life. Are you ready? It's clarifying. Proverbs, the fourth chapter, says this: "Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and don't get sidetracked." It's clarifying. It will begin to decide where you're going to use your time. It will begin to decide, honestly, listen, it'll begin to decide who your friends are. Because the friends who want you to stay mediocre, the friends who want you to stay stuck, the friends that want you to stay bitter, those that want to keep you right where you are, you're going to have to decide, and it will begin to clarify, I got to get some new people in my life, people that have direction, people that are going to help me accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish. It'll start to clarify. It'll start to clarify what you're going to do with your finances. It'll start to clarify what you're going to do in your life. It's going to clarify a lot of things. Here's what Philippians, the third chapter and the 13th verse says. I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting what is behind and looking forward to what lies ahead. It doesn't matter what you've done and where you've been. God has a plan, and He wants you to move forward. In fact, I'm going to give you three things I want you to pay attention to today, that God loves you and He has a plan for you in spite of your past, in spite of what you've done. I had somebody several years ago said to me, they said, I've been involved in a very negative thing. And they've gone on later on to tell the story to other people, but they said, I was involved in a circumstance where someone lost their life. And they said, how can God forgive me? How can I move past that? I feel like I'm still stuck on that day. And here's what the Bible says. I'm going to read a passage to you that Paul wrote. Paul says, I thank God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given me strength. He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. And I was able to share with them, it doesn't matter what you've done, in spite of your past, God has a plan for your future. There's something else. God will save you in spite of your past. Many times we've tried to fix our lives ourselves. We've broken it apart. We've torn the computer down, and we have parts left over. There's stuff that we don't know what to do with it. God can fix you. God can save you in spite of your past. Here's what Paul says in this passage. He says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Like, God is gracious. He's merciful. He loves you. And along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. God has a plan. He has a plan to move you forward past this place. And here's the third thing that you should understand, and that God can change you, and He can move you into the place, the future that He has for you. There's a call, a destination. He wants to use you. He wants you to be a part of something that's bigger than you. He wants you to be a part of something that brings fulfillment. He wants you to be a part of something that isn't just about you. It's bigger than you. It's not just about your everyday mundane activities. It's really all about what He has for your life. And if you turn your life over to Him and say yes to Him, let me just tell you, He has a destiny for you. Good news for you is Christ has an awesome destiny for your life. He has an awesome vision for your life. And today, in the next few moments, I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to encourage you. Some of you, you're here today, and emotionally, you need a new beginning. Emotionally, you're walking in unforgiveness, and you're walking in bitterness. You just feel like your heart is dead, and you need a new beginning. God today can give you a brand new start by His Spirit. He can cause a heart that's cold and dead to come back to life. Take a heart that's stone and make it into a heart of flesh, Ezekiel said. God has a plan for your life, and He wants you to move forward. And God has a plan where He can use you. There are some of you today, you're longing for something that's bigger than just a job. You're longing for something that's more than just a career. You can be a part of something that has a destiny, that maybe has an impact on a generation or another generation. And you might say, well, I've messed my life up. Listen, there are some people in the Bible. They messed their lives up, and God chose them anyway. Moses was a murderer, and God chose him. David was an adulterer and a murderer, and God chose him. The Apostle Paul was a persecutor of Christians, and God chose him. Peter was a denier, and God chose him. John Mark was a man who was involved in a conflict, and God still chose him. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what your actions have been, what your heart has been. God wants to give you a brand new start, and maybe it's in your heart, maybe it's a new direction. But listen, today's a day where you can turn a new page in your life and begin a new start. I want to pray with you. Maybe you're here today, and you're here because you need a new beginning. Maybe you're here today because you need a new start. Maybe it's you just need God to wipe the page clean. Maybe take away your guilt, take away your past, take away your sin. Maybe you're here today and you need a new start emotionally, or you need a new start spiritually. I want to pray for you in the next few moments, and we're going to ask the Lord to come close to you and draw you closer. And as you draw close to him today, I have to tell you, he's going to begin to start a journey in your life towards the plan and the path that he has for you, if you'll just say yes.